So the event has been celebrating, the whole overall title of the event was Beating the Drum of the Dharma. It was around the idea that the Buddha's enlightenment experience is still, as it were, resonating down through the ages, across cultures, and landing, as it were, here. But of course, it lands here not to stop, but to continue reverberating onwards, onwards through time, through space, through geography, through history. We've heard in different ways about the Buddha's enlightenment experience. We heard the story told by Ratnaprabha. We've heard from the talks. We had a talk from Ratnaguna. Two very beautiful talks, actually. Ratnaguna telling us of the earliest teachings. And a talk yesterday from Kamala Shila about the Buddha's need to absorb that experience of the enlightenment. And today I want to talk about the implications of the fact that the Buddha decided to teach. So you could say we've had the wisdom aspect. We've had a kind of insight and absorption aspect. And today the aspect we're focusing on is compassion. So I'm going to start by just reading a little bit from the Pali Canon of the moment when the Buddha's making this decision. Then, while he was alone and in seclusion, this line of thinking arose in his awareness. This Dharma that I have attained is deep, hard to see, hard to realize, peaceful, refined, beyond the scope of conjecture, subtle, to be experienced by the wise. But this generation delights in attachment, is excited by attachment, enjoys attachment. For a generation delighting in attachment, conditionality and dependent co-arising are hard to see. If I were to teach the Dharma and others were to not understand me, that would be tiresome for me. Troublesome for me. As the Blessed One reflected thus, his mind inclined to dwelling at ease and not to teaching the Dharma. So really try and have a sense of that moment. The future, in a sense, is hanging on a hair's breadth. It's a moment in which, if the Buddha had decided to dwell in peace and not to teach, how much would have been different? And I sometimes, when I read this or I think of it, I can really have a sense of the Buddha making that decision. The Buddha just sitting there. And I can only, of course, imagine the sense of peace and ease. And the sense that, well, it might be tiresome and troublesome to teach living beings. Of course, I can't relate to that myself, the idea of it might be tiresome and troublesome to teach living beings. And that I'd rather sit and do something else in my own little way. Of course, I'm sure we can all have a sense of what it feels like to maybe be on the brink of making a decision. And we don't know exactly the consequences of that decision. But we might have a sense that it is going to take a bit of effort. And yet we know in our heart of hearts that that effort is worth it and that we will do it. So fortunately for us, the Buddha was reminded of that effort and he made the decision. So the story continues. It says, Brahma Sahampati, having known with his own awareness this line of thinking, in the Blessed One's awareness thought, the world is lost, the world is destroyed. The mind of the Tathagata inclines to dwelling at ease and not to teaching the Dharma. He disappeared from his Brahma world and reappeared in front of the Blessed One. He knelt down before him saluted the Blessed One with his hands before his heart and said to him, Lord, let the Blessed One teach the Dharma. Let him teach the Dharma. There are beings with little dust in their eyes who are falling away because they do not hear the Dharma. Rise up, hero. Rise up, victor in battle. Teach the Dharma. There will be those who understand. And the Blessed One, having understood this invitation, out of compassion for beings, surveyed the world with the eye of an awakened one. As he did so, he saw beings with little dust in their eyes, and those with much, those with keen faculties, those with dull, those easy to teach, and those hard to teach. But fortunately for us, whichever of those categories we fall into, he did indeed decide to teach. Through compassion, he decides to teach. Now, I have quite a fertile imagination. So when I imagine this scene, I kind of imagine the Buddha sitting there. And maybe in that moment, he remembers. Right back to the moment when he left home to seek awakening. And we'll remember that he did that through compassion. That the Buddha-to-be, still not the Buddha, left home and went out to seek an answer to the world's suffering. And I sometimes have this feeling that maybe in that moment when Brahma Sahampati comes to him, it comes back, oh yes, of course, that's why I left home, to seek the Dharma. Well, to seek the truth, to seek an end to suffering. And maybe he remembered an experience which had been quite formative for him in leaving home, which was when he remembered as a child his father's ploughman ploughing a field. And the Buddha to be, as a young, quite young child, if I remember correctly, saw the earth being turned up by the plough. And he saw that many small insects and small creatures' homes were disrupted and their lives, in fact, were perhaps ended by the plough making its furrow through the earth. And he had a vision in that moment in which he thought, this is how beings are. You know, we kind of go along thinking the earth is a solid place. And then something happens, some plough, the plough of life comes through and we're upturned. The earth is no longer solid between our feet, beneath our feet. Something happens, life challenges us. And we're made to see that things weren't as we thought they were. And we often suffer through this. So perhaps he remembers this. Who knows? It's pure speculation on my part. But through compassion in his heart, he decides to teach. And Brahma Sahampati thinks, the Blessed One has given his consent to teach the Dharma. And he's obviously delighted. It is also perhaps interesting that the Buddha takes this as an invitation. And maybe that's something to reflect on, that an invitation is sometimes helpful, that receptivity is often also helpful. It's good to know when we need help, and it's good to ask. So Brahma Sahampati, if you like, is every man, perhaps, on this occasion, every person. He comes to the Buddha, he reminds him of the need for compassion in the world. Perhaps he doesn't really need to be reminded. He is, after all, the perfectly awakened one. But nevertheless, this is quite a formative moment. It's a moment when that decision's made and reverberations are set in motion that are still shaking the earth today. And it's interesting that in this very first moment, it comes from compassion. The Buddha decides to teach from compassion. He doesn't decide to teach because he's had an interesting formula that he thinks would be good to share, or some interesting thoughts that he thinks people might be interested in. He actually chooses to share his insights through compassion. So compassion is there right from the start, an active compassion. He decides to go back out into the world and teach. And we see this even through the very, very early scriptures. He exhorts his disciples to go forth for the good of the many, for the happiness of the many, from out of compassion for the world and to teach the Dharma. He says to people, he says to his disciples, work for the good of others, you who have accomplished your duties. So in a sense, he's saying, those of you who have, to some extent, benefited from having met the Dharma, please continue to make that available for more and more people in wider and wider circles. So the compassion there is active, and the Buddha and his disciples go back into the world. And there are all sorts of examples, some of which I had planned to share, of where the Buddha really engages in a very kind of strong and direct sense with what we might call worldly issues, social issues.